the Jeff Moore Show on the Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Wednesday morning. Still to come on the program, Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery. He is our Wednesday regular. He'll be with us in about an hour from now. And then in 2 hours, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. Usually on Fridays, but this is kind of a Friday for me. So he'll join us in the bottom of the 11 o'clock hour. You want to stay tuned for that. Joining us now, he's running for the Republican nomination in our first congressional district, but he is the incumbent congressman in the second congressional district. They have really screwed up the maps. The federal courts have, but it is what it is. Joining us now, Congressman Barry Moore. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, I am doing good. No complaints at all, my friend. How are you, sir?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for coming on. We always appreciate your time. So let's kick it off here. Kind of give us a rundown. I know we're talking like every few days, but how is the campaign going?
Well, it's going well. We've been so excited to get out, Heather and I, in Baldwin County and meet the folks over in that part of the country. And look, you know, this thing goes from Dothan to Dolphin Island, and, you know, six of the nine counties we already represent. So it's been nice to get to know the people. Baldwin County is a big county, but they're wonderful people, and we have a lot of the same beliefs, political stance on issues. And so it's been a good experience for the last few weeks for Heather and I.
Now, we haven't talked since the NDAA vote last week, and I kind of want to get you were the lone member of the delegation. Out of all nine of you, counting the two U.S. senators who voted against it, I kind of walk us through that decision.
Well, you know, to me, the decision was fairly easy. I supported the NDAA when we sent it to Chuck Schumer and the Democrats in the Senate months ago. It had some really good stuff in it. You know, there was restrictions on abortion tourism where the taxpayer money was being used by the military to go fund abortions for people to travel for that. We prohibited the transgender surgeries in our language. There were a lot of things that we did to stop some of the things that I think that the district would agree with in our version. But once it went to the Senate and Schumer and McConnell, those guys got their hands on it. When it came back to us, 8 of the 9 good policy provisions that were in that bill had been stripped out. But to me, 2 of the most egregious things was they reauthorized FISA, which, if anybody knows about FISA, that's the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act that allows FBI just to spy on people who they deem could be a threat. And obviously Donald Trump and General Flynn and Carter Page in 2016 was part of that. And last year, 270,000 Americans were surveilled without search warrants. And so the fact that in an election year, we would give this weaponized FBI the authority to spy on U.S. citizens and presidential nominations and nominees and candidates and patriots. The fact that we attached that to this bill was just, to me, was a bridge too far. And that was one of the issues. Even if we'd have kept, Jeff, if we'd have kept 9 out of 9 good policies that we put in there, if you said, oh, by the way, we're going to reauthorize the FBI to spy on U.S. citizens, I'd have been a no vote.
So that was sort of the deal breaker. I guess the other aspect of it was Ukraine and Ukraine funding. That seemed to be a deal breaker for a lot of your colleagues as well.
Yeah, I mean, either one of the above. I mean, that tells you how horrible this thing is. Number one, they give the FBI the authority to spy on U.S. citizens while our border is wide open. We send $600 million to Eastern European country to secure their border. And I'm thinking to myself, we've already sent over $100 billion to Ukraine with no oversight. And look, everybody will agree Putin's not a good guy, but we don't know that Zelensky's such a good guy either. He shut down the second largest Christian church in the world. He's done away with elections this cycle. And so the fact that we're going to continue to stand him up and his government and to prop them up at the expense of the U.S. citizens and our own border is just staggering to me. And, Jeff, if we look at the numbers, and this has been fact-checked, my friend, we have spent twice as much money in Ukraine in the last 34 months as we spent on all federal roads and bridge projects in the United States of America. And so when you step back and take a look at that, and while our infrastructure crumbles down around us, our border is wide open, this NDAA is going to allow the federal government to spy on U.S. citizens, send $600 million to a foreign country to secure their border and not secure our own border. There was too many things in this that just do not make sense for the American people, for the security of our nation, and for the sovereignty of this country. And I just couldn't go along with it.
Well, I want to bounce this off of you. So your opponent insists that the money's not going to Ukraine, but it's being used for Well, that my understanding, and I hope I'm getting this right, that we're using money's going to National Guards here domestically to train Ukrainians. What's your reaction to that? Is that accurate in your view?
Well, I mean, Section 1331 is the area within the bill. It was 3,000 pages. They rolled it in from the Senate with Schumer grinning from ear to ear and said, "Oh, $600 million to the Ukrainian Defense Forces." Or the initiative they called it. But again, there's no oversight. I mean, we had oversight. In our NDAA we passed in July, we had some pretty strict provisions on metrics and how we were going to manage that oversight. Again, we're already at $100 billion. Another $600 million, and oh, by the way, this is going to be used for this, that, and the other. We need to figure out where the first $100 billion went. I have been told by people on the ground that even the Ukrainian soldiers are having to buy bullets out of their own pockets. So the fact that we've sent $100 billion, we don't know where that's headed. Well, this is $600 million to train soldiers. To me, that's just, it's more of the same. It's more of the just military-industrial complex. They're going to continue to spend money on wars in foreign places, but there's no oversight. And it's just not a win for the American people. We're already $100 billion into this thing. No more money for that border. We need to secure our own. And that's my position on it.
Joined by Congressman Barry Moore here on the program. Congressman, I want to get your reaction. Colorado Supreme Court, I'm sure you're aware of this, not going, at least for the time being, not allowing Trump to be on the ballot. That seems to be kind of dominating the news cycle. What's your take on that?
Well, to me, it's egregious. You and I are sitting here talking about right now how the courts are playing in U.S. elections. And so if they can't win on the issues very often, it seems like they appeal to the judiciary, or they go through that judicial branch of government to impact elections. And, you know, look, Trump probably wasn't going to win the Colorado delegates anyway. I don't know how he would do in Colorado in this cycle. I know he's winning a lot of the polls I'm seeing. But it hurts down the ballot. If he's not at the top of the ballot for conservatives down the ballot where he pulls people to the polls, granted, he'll appeal this thing to the Supreme Court, and I'm counting on him winning, and I hope he does, and I wish we could get the courses down of America's elections. But right now they have their thumb on the scale pretty heavily, and it's a continuation of that process of the government itself starting to limit the voice of the American people. They want to choose our candidates, Jeff. It's just like we talked about on the FISA warrants of the FBI, where they offered Christopher Steele $1 million to verify the dossier in 2016 election. The same FBI gives, you know, $3 million to Twitter to quieten the Hunter Biden laptop story in the last election cycle. And now this government, the judicial branch and the DOJ that are coming after the president, but at the same time trying to remove him from a ballot. Troubling times for our country. And people, we hear it all the time, Jeff. You know, this is the most important election of our lifetime, but I can tell the people that are listening to your show today, this is probably the most important election of our lifetime, and they're doing everything they can to take the man that we want as president of the United States off the ballot.
Okay, so when we talk about the deep state, and we talk about, FISA and then all these tools the federal government has to sort of intrude upon our lives, let's say Donald Trump's elected. He comes in office in 2025. Where does he start? What does he how do you start? How do you tackle this problem in getting a lot of that kind of in order?
Brother, the first thing we have to do, he has to get rid of upper level management across the board. This swamp, this government system that circles the wagons to protect itself, to continue to print money and to raise money and to provide funding for its own preservation. We've got to get rid of that upper level management. And then we, as Congress, should be standing with the president. Honestly, this even on the NDAA, there were opportunities there for us to cut funding. That's our leverage. But we have to work with him, Jeff, because you cannot drain the swamp and fund it at the same time. I say it all the time. You may have heard me say it. It's impossible to bring home the bacon and save the nation. You have to pick people who are statesmen and not politicians. Trump made mistakes the first time. He'll tell you, if you can get him to admit it, that, hey, I trusted some people that thinking that if I told them to do the job, they would do the job. But the problem was the whole system was working against the man because he was a populist candidate. He represented somebody outside of D.C., and that the D.C. system itself, it circles the wagons, it encompasses people, and then it protects itself at the cost of our liberty and at our future and our sovereignty. And that's the fight we're in. I think he's figured it out. He better surround himself with people he can truly trust, people who make tough choices.
Congressman, I promise not to do this to you too much throughout this campaign, but one thing I do want to get you to respond to, about your opponent saying he sees himself as a workhorse and he sees you as a show horse. How do you respond to that being described as a show horse?
Well, you know, Jeff, I just don't engage in personal politics, and I certainly don't do name calling, but I just say, look at the record, man. We've solved 4,000 cases in 34 months. He solved 2,000 cases in 34 months. We were the most conservative, according to CPAC last year, and from Alabama. In addition to that, our Liberty score is a 96, and my opponent's is in the 70s. And you know, I just say, run on your record, right? I mean, look, we passed bills for veterans since we've been in Congress. In our office, my freshman year, was labeled the most effective congressional office Republican, that is, from Alabama that cycle. And so the awards we won, from Democracy Awards to other awards, and the services we provided for our constituents, I think the record speaks for itself. I think I have proven you can be both effective and conservative, and the record does not lie.
Well, and, you know, and I know I've asked you this a couple of times over the years, trying to maintain that balance. There is a legacy in Alabama of congressmen going to Washington and sort of bringing home the bacon, or however you want to describe it. And maybe I don't, you know, like who have we ever had in the congressional delegation that's been, you know, like an ideologue or whatever, maybe Mo Brooks for a time, but how do you balance that? How do you maintain like a core ideology and then really take care of your district in a way that maybe some expect?
I think it comes for a love of the people that you serve, right? I mean, so often I think that many members think that the public, maybe, and somehow we're there, they work for us. But when I hired my staff, Jeff, I hired people with servants' hearts. And I think we have to remember and love the people that we represent, and understand the fundamental fact that they're paying our salary and we have a nation to preserve, and we need to do what's best for them and love on them. And that's why we did the 4,000 cases. That's why we've been the most effective congressional office in my freshman year from Alabama, because the go along to get along, man, I tell you, that's what the problem is with this country. This is a calling for me, and I'm going to do what I tell the people I'm going to do. That's what I've done. I think my record has proven that. And look, I think that it's a win for me. I may not get the big D.C. K Street money, and the lobbyists may not love me, but the people do. And I think that that's what is with Donald Trump. I think that's his appeal. They know he's telling the truth. And granted, you can compromise on preferences, but when it comes to convictions, I think you have to hold the line. Even if you're the only one, and it's lonely sometimes, you have to hold the line for liberty. And, you know, look, it's easy to go along. I would love to have voted for the NDAA. It had a 5% pay raise for our soldiers. And, you know, I'm the only veteran in this race. I'm the only veteran from the Alabama delegation. But to the left of me was a Navy SEAL sniper that voted no. In front of me was the chairman of Homeland Security, West Point grad. He voted no. So the brothers in arms here, we understand the fight is bigger than just a 5% pay raise. It's the future of our country. It's the security of our border. It's the sovereignty of our nation. It's your liberty that's at stake. Why on earth would I sacrifice that for a 5% pay raise, as much as I love my soldiers? And look, I've had a lot of soldiers call in my office saying, thank you. I'll waive the 5% raise. If you'll save our country, you'll stand it on principle. And that's what we're doing.
Well, and tell me this, since you've been out and about, where do you find the people you're talking to? I mean, do they want the guy who is really the sort of like bring home the money for the district? Or do they like the guy who's, you know, more big picture? I mean, like, what kind of response do you get to some of this when you're out and about?
So, you know, to me, it's been astonishing. This district, this new District 1 that I've been drawn into, it went from the 75th most conservative to the 6th most conservative in the nation. So the fact that I'm the only House Freedom Caucus guy to race, they get that. They know that that's a brand that's fighting for liberty. That's a brand that's standing for them, and it's not for the system in D.C. And so I have been fairly well surprised at how just people are welcoming. And look, you know, I've done the fights in Judiciary Committee. My opponent called me a show horse, but that makes Jim Jordan a show horse too, because Jim's in the fight against Christopher Wray and the FBI and Merrick Garland and the DOJ and Mayorkas on the border. That, call us what you want to, but they see us in the fight, and when people see us and they know where we stand and they know we're House Freedom Caucus guys, it's been pretty well received, Jeff. I've actually been incredibly encouraged by it.
Have you gotten any feedback or any pushback even from your constituents about your NDAA vote? I mean, has it been, what has been the reception just in the current AL2?
Overwhelmingly, people love the fact that I stood alone and I said no to more spending in Ukraine, no to the FBI spying on American citizens, you know, no to abortion travel for our soldiers, you know, the funding of that we prohibited. The fact that I'm just saying no to these things that would have been easy to go along with everybody else and swim downstream, you know, they appreciate that. And look, my town halls, Jeff, I did 14 of them the August before this past August. Everywhere I went, it was right after people were being imprisoned from January 6th. Donald Trump was then being investigated. We felt like the elections might have not been secure and conservatives were being taken down. I mean, my Twitter was taken down 3 days after Trump. There was this fear among the U.S. citizens, the American people that I represent, that this government is really working against us. And I tell them, the fight is not in Washington, D.C., Jeff. The fight is with Washington, D.C. And so when I see the fear in those folks' eyes that the very government that we fund is coming after them, they love the fact that I said no this time and that no to this continuation of just, yeah, FISA, y'all, FBI, just do as you will against the American citizens of liberty. Continue to spy on us. That'll be fine. Or, oh, by the way, let's send $600 million to a foreign country and not even secure our own border. Those are the kind of things that people are tired of just go along to get along politics, and I'm getting a ton of support for it.
Congressman, we're out of time, but before I let you go, folks want to find out more about your campaign or anything else, need to get in touch, how can they do so?
You can follow us on Facebook, Barrymore Republican for Congress, or U.S. Rep. Barrymore if they have issues, constituent things, whatever it is, Jeff, they can find me on social media, and we've got a website that's pretty effective, and we'll continue to do town halls right up through. So, Facebook's a great way to find us, and certainly we have a congressional webpage, or at least I should say a campaign page they can find us as well, Jeff. U.S. Rep. Barrymore.
Barrymore, ladies and gentlemen, candidate for in the 1st Congressional District for the Republican nomination. Congressman, if I don't talk to you again before next week, have a Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Jeff. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Barrymore, ladies and gentlemen, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.